Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey, Bills fans. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and we have a lot to talk about in this show. I'm going to recap the Bills-Colts Thursday night preseason game, give some thoughts on it. By the way, crazy, right? Crazy that we're already at the first preseason game of the 2019 season. We are finally here, Bills fans. So I'm going to give a few thoughts on that game. It is a preseason game, so there's not a ton that we can really truly take away from it, but I feel like there are a few things that I'm going to go over. But first, I wanted to introduce an artist named Dom Brown to the Buffalo Rumblings podcast community. Now, we have a lot of new listeners since last season when the podcast channel first launched, and Dom created a Buffalo Bills anthem in 2018 that you heard a clip of at the beginning of this episode. Now, we've also played it last season after a few wins, and you may have also heard it on Kiss 98.5 in Buffalo. Well, we had a chance to talk to him about how he became an artist, a Bills fan, and how he went from those two things to opening up for Nelly this past Saturday at Canalside. So he's created a new Bills 2019 anthem that we're going to preview here exclusively on the Circling the Wagons podcast so that you all can enjoy. So without further ado, our interview with Dom Brown.
Hey, 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 let's go Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo Bills.
He is a recording artist performing at Canalside this Saturday with Nelly at 5 p.m. Tickets are still available at the time of this recording. And he's an avid Bills fan that created an amazing Bills anthem in 2018 that we played on this podcast and has created a new one for the 2019 season that he has been kind enough to preview with us. I'm here with Dom Brown. Dom, it's great to finally talk with you in person. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am doing well. Appreciate you doing this.
No problem.
Before we get into your show at Canalside with Nelly and your Bills anthem, how did you get into music and becoming, you know, an artist in general?
All right, so when I was a senior in high school, I transferred schools. I'm from Rochester, so I transferred schools and then met a group of guys who did music, and they were in a talent show, and like I remember watching them saying, like, I can do this. I can make music. And then I got my own equipment. And I started recording music in my parents' basement. And that's how I started at 17. Wow. I started doing that at 17. And then I've been doing it since.
So, I mean, just growing up, I mean, in high school or even earlier, who were your musical influences and who did you follow growing up?
I would say number one growing up, Lil Wayne, my favorite. Mm-hmm. Anyone that knows me knows that, like, any debate about Lil Wayne, I'll go hard for.
Mm-hmm.
So Lil Wayne, when I started making music, like T-Pain was big. So T-Pain was influenced. Nowadays, like Drake, mm-hmm. Producers are influencers too, like Timbaland,
mm-hmm.
and like who else, like
because
man,
you're not only Swiss Beats. Yep, so you're not because you're not only just, you know, doing your own music and rapping and lyrics. You're also producing it, right?
No. So I just started to start making beats. Okay. I do not have any of my own instrumentals on my album that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I buy them online. So I go to a site and I had to buy them, get a contract and everything, because it's like, it's legal stuff too, like getting the beat mm-hmm. and having to put it on your album. You have to at least own the beat mm-hmm. or partly own it with the producer.
Is that one of those things where you can ask them to edit it as time goes on and have them, you know, change it up if you want to make them faster or slower?
Yes.
Like, I mean, do you have that ability within this contract and stuff?
Yes, for sure. So I can have them add stuff to the beat. I can have them cut stuff out or basically personalize the beat if I needed to.
Because I noticed in this latest 2019 Bills Anthem, there seemed to be, like, you mentioned Bills Mafia, obviously, and there's like the mm-hmm. kind of like hint of like that old style mafia music in the background. Was that something that you had in mind when you had them create that?
So, like the beginning part, right? The
yeah.
intro part, you're saying? So that I added that myself. I just, it was something on YouTube and it had Buffalo Running. So like I typed in Buffalo Running.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was the like music that was playing behind that. And then, so I kind of just came up with that myself. Sometimes I'm just sitting there thinking like, what could I do to make it better? Or what can I do to have people's attention? And I thought that would be a great way to catch people's attention.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you just growing up in Rochester, is that how you became a Bills fan?
No, actually, growing up, I was a huge Deion Sanders fan.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever he was, like, I was a fan of. I moved to Buffalo in 2011 because I went to UB. And then, like, 2014, 15, I was in a relationship with someone who was a hardcore Bills fan. Like, I never see anything like it, especially from, like, a female. I've never seen anything like it. And it got me into like going to the games all the time. And the one specific moment I knew, like, I love the Bills. It was, I think it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago. It was against the Oakland Raiders and we were up. And then the second half, we just like, I don't know what happened. We just fell that the second
yep.
half. I don't think Tyrod was the quarterback at the time. I feel like we were up a few touchdowns
mm-hmm.
and I felt that. And that's when I knew, like, when it felt like a heartbreak, like, for real,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I must be a Bills fan. Like, ever since then, I'm here in Buffalo. It's kind of like, if you're living here, you're almost forced to be a Bills fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that's all people talk about. And I just embraced it. And I just, hardcore Bills fan now. I love the Bills.
Dude, you are a Bills fan because
yes.
you didn't come in at the you're not a bandwagon fan, that's for sure, because you didn't come
no
in when
way,
they were amazing.
No. right.
So you're an artist and a Bills fan. At what point did you think to create a Bills anthem in the first place?
I just started. I took a hiatus from music for a while. I have a daughter. She's 6 now. So, you know, like working and taking care of her, I just stopped making music for a while.
Yep.
And then when I got back into it, I think I sent my song to a DJ, or I was at the bar and I had a DJ play my song in the bar, in the club, and he loved it. So that motivated me to get back into music. And I always think of ways to, I always thought of ways to, like, how could I get people to listen? And in Buffalo, talking about the Bills is the number one way to get anyone to listen to anything. So I made a song 2 years ago. It was okay. But last year when I made the song, DJ Anthony heard it and he promoted it like crazy. So put on the radio and stuff. So that's the reason why I'm going to do it every year now.
Oh, great.
And it's not easy at all because it's like new players. Can't repeat the same stuff from the year before. It's a long process to try to create a Bills song, for sure.
Oh yeah,
I mean, the hardest critics are Bills fans as well.
Yeah, well, you know, that makes sense. I mean, there were tough fans, man. I guess that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, you know, especially this time of year, I know you've worked on it. It's almost done. It's almost finalized.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are still getting injured or getting cut. I mean, if things change, I mean, do you have the flexibility to change your song, your anthem?
Yes, that's the reason why I usually don't release them until right before the first week. So yeah. What I usually do is I'll wait until training camp's over, right before week one.
Yep.
That way, I won't say any names that could possibly get cut or injured. Anyone that's injured. If there's players that's on the cusp that I think is on the cusp, in my opinion, I won't mention their name. This year, I honestly thought that Robert Foster would be higher on the depth chart for the wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
So in this new song, it's still in progress. So I said Robert Foster's name, but I did not mention John Brown. But I'm going to go back into the song and mention John Brown because he's the number one right now.
Oh, yeah, man. So you have to follow training camp closely just to refine your anthem and really make it. Wow.
Because Robert Foster, when I made this song, that I just put the players in there that I thought were going to be like the main receivers, too. So I said his name, Cole Beasley and Zay Jones.
Yep.
And I think it slipped my mind that John Brown was on the team. But when the training camp started, and then I looked at the depth chart that they had, and I was like, oh, John Brown, I have to mention him. So I'm definitely going to go back and mention his name.
So you're opening for Nelly at Canal Side this Saturday. Is this the biggest stage you've been on, and how did this all come about?
100% the biggest stage I've been going to be on, and so far, hopefully. It came about because I used to bounce downtown, so I know a lot of the promoters and stuff. I seen that he was the promoter, a guy named Tim, he's the promoter. And I think I texted him and said, hey, do you need openers for T.I. or Nelly? Cause he brought T.I. as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's funny you text me because you're one of the names that was brought up in the meeting to open. And he was like, you have a choice. Do you want to open up for T.I. or Nelly? And at this time, T.I. was only a month away. So I chose Nelly because I knew I wanted to see how the show would be at TI. I attended it to get ready for Nelly.
Oh, wow. So were they going, don't tell me they were going clearly off your Bills anthem, were they?
No.
Or just only off
this. Tim is a promoter at a few club downtown, and they play my music in the club. So
oh, cool.
He's heard my music before.
Okay.
So it wasn't just all the Bills anthem.
Okay, wow. I was going to say, man, that's impressive if that's how far that got you. So obviously
yeah,
all
that would be cool, yeah.
All your other music. I mean, how many albums do you have out right now? How many songs?
One. So okay. I've been making music for 11 years now. I'm 28 and I dropped my first album May 18th this year. And I've had like mixtapes before that were just posted online for free. But this one, I actually made it a legit album and that was put on the streaming services.
Okay. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So we talked about the Bills a little bit in the anthem. I mean, in general, as a Bills fan, I mean, what's your outlook for the 2019 season? Do you think the Bills improved from the 2018 season?
Oh, yeah, definitely improved. With the offensive line, I feel like we have a few different options we can do, like putting the line together. I am not going into this season with expectations as I used to.
You've been burned already. It's only been like 4 or 5 years. You've already been burned that many times.
Listen, yeah, already, man, already. I just don't want to like have high expectations, but I do see a bright future for our team. I do really like Josh Allen. I think he does have a lot to improve on, but just like his grit and like you can just tell he wants to win. That's like he's the most Buffalo guy on this team, you know?
Yep, exactly.
And then with our new draft pick, our first round at Oliver, like that, he is like just the way he came down, like when he got drafted, this is reaction. Like I just knew right there, like, all right, that he'll be loved in Buffalo. He's gonna be loved.
He's a Buffalo guy, right?
Yeah, he's happy to be in Buffalo, which is like the talk is that people don't want to be, but to see someone get drafted to Buffalo and he's like ready. He's ready. It looks like he's ready to line up when he was going to get his hat when he got drafted.
Oh yeah, great. Yeah, I agree. I'd have to tend to agree with you. So, I mean, last season, after you and I hooked up, and We talked over Twitter. I tried to play the Bills, the 2018 Bills anthem, after some signature wins. Now, unfortunately, when your team only wins six games, you know, we only got to play it a few times.
Right.
But since we agreed, I mean, the Bills will easily win, like, what, 11 to 12 games this season, right?
That's what I hope. That's what I hope. I usually go through and do picks myself. I did go through and I did get 9-7, but that was before training camp and everything, and like seeing how, like reading and seeing how everyone's meshing together. I want 10 wins. I want 10 wins.
Oh yeah.
Like, and I want the division, honestly. Everyone wants the division, but I feel like a lot of fans go into the season thinking like, all right, we got to get this wild card spot. But in my eyes, how I feel is like, yes, Brady is getting old, but if we start to make the playoffs, like after he retired, like I won't feel happy about that. Like, I want to get there a few years while he's playing.
Yeah.
I don't want any excuses like because, oh, when he leaves, you guys are good. Like, no. I want to get there,
yeah,
and win the division while he's on that team.
Yeah, same here, man. I love that attitude. I'm the same exact way as you. So I figure we'll go through the schedule and just pick out some of the more signature wins of the season that would be appropriate to play this 2019 anthem after a win if they do so end up winning it. So I have the season pulled up. I figure the first win of the season. Now the Bills play at the Jets and at the Giants.
Yeah.
I figure the first win of the season gets the anthem, right? No matter when it is.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
First win, division win, beat Le'Veon Bell and Sam Darnold. That deserves it right there. That's
okay.
It right there.
So week one, or for whatever, I mean, even though we think they're probably going to win week one, week two, we play it then. If for some reason they don't win week one. Now week three is the home opener against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills win that. We got to play that one, right? We got to play the anthem.
The home opener, yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it's a possibility of at least 2 out of 3 weeks there in the first. So then the Pats.
Yeah. At home, too.
At home. Any Pats win, we got to play it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just for the same reason you just mentioned. I mean, we got to Brady just came off a Super Bowl, so we're not getting him necessarily on him trending downward.
I mean, it's all it is. He's whatever age he is. How old is he? 41?
Yeah.
41 years old. Like, he just won the Super Bowl. I don't care about what his age is. He's still Tom Brady. That's how I see it.
Yep.
He has no age. Beating Tom Brady is beating Tom Brady.
Yep, exactly.
I want 2 wins against Tom Brady this year.
That sounds good. So then after that, they play at the Titans. Not so much a signature win there, so I don't know. I don't know if we'll play that one. The Dolphins, too. I think the Week 7 Dolphins, they look pretty weak this year. I'm hoping we go 2-0 there, so against the Dolphins both times. But the Philadelphia Eagles in Week 8, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be... That's definitely Super Bowl champions from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be played. Yep. Okay. Okay. We agree on that one. Then we get week 9, the Washington Redskins. I mean, the Redskins are kind of rebuilding.
Yeah. Not too worried about that. I can't even tell you who their quarterback is.
Exactly. I don't know if they know. So it's all right.
Right. Yeah. Oh, they do have Haskins, though, right?
They do have. Yep. They do have Haskins. They do have a rookie there. And that is a home game. So, yeah.
That's on the fence, depending on how the season's going, though, too. You got to think about that. Say we're on a crazy streak at that time. It might have to get played again, huh?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, we'll have to see where we stand on that one. So, but what about the next week?
The next week, for 100%.
At Browns, Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be at that game, too.
Ooh, really? All right.
Oh, yeah. I already got booked the hotel and everything.
Oh, geez. Maybe I should call you live after the game. Maybe you could do a quick...
that would be interesting right there.
Yeah, just send me over the beats, and then you can just rap over the top of it, all right?
Do it live.
So the Browns, that's a really good one. The Browns have high expectations this season.
Baker, Week 10. Odell, you got Jarvis. They really... On paper, that is an all-star team. That is Mm-hmm. They have a, like, they got Sheldon Richardson on defense, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, they got running Kareem Rush.
Yep.
Duke Johnson, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's
they look like the Warriors of football right now.
They do. They do. But you know as well as I do, you don't build championships on free agency only. So.
Oh, no. No. You got to, like McDermott, he loved the culture. You got to have that, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm not sure with a rookie head coach how that's all going to go, but we'll see. I definitely will play it after the Cleveland Browns game if they win that one. Week 11, mm-hmm. they're at Miami. I don't know if we want to count any Miami or Jets games, do we? Okay.
Nah, because, not really.
Because even the next, because it gets really.
Unless we sweep them.
Ooh, a sweep. Right? All right.
Yeah, a sweep. Okay. A sweep, man.
a Jets or Dolphins sweep. I love it. Okay, good. Good.
That's 4-0 in the division right there.
Then you only need 5 or 6 other games, right? The rest of the season, you're good.
Yeah, yeah.
Week 12 against the Broncos, that's not a really – I mean, they're still in quarterback flux, too.
Oh,
I don't expect a lot from them.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, man. We've said a lot of no's right now. We only have a few yeses. Week 13 through 17, man, though, there are a lot of big games.
Oh, my God, yeah. You got America's team,
yep.
quote on, quote off, wherever.
yep.
Yeah. Cowboys.
Cowboys on Thanksgiving in Dallas. That gotta play that. Gotta play it after a
Definitely.
Win there. Then we got Week 14, Sunday, in Buffalo against the Ravens. That's a big game. That's a huge game.
I like the Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson narrative that they're probably gonna do.
Oh,
hopefully.
I bet you Josh Allen has more passing yards that game than Lamar Jackson. I don't know if they win.
Might have more rushing, too.
you never know.
Going by it last year.
yep, that's true. That's true. And then so we got week 14 against the Ravens. We'll play week 15 in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. Got to play it, right?
Oh, yeah. Beating Big Ben.
Man, those are some big games. And of course, week 16 right now, it's a flex schedule game, so we're not sure.
Yeah, so it could be a night. It could be a night.
It could be a night at New England against the Patriots. They gotta play it if they win that one.
It could be a night game, and being that optimistic Bills fan, it could be the division. That division could be on the line.
Oh man. Oh, stop it. You're teasing me, man.
Listen, man. it's hypothetical. Because looking at the schedule right now, I mean, I do see some critical games, but I see some games like right. It's on paper, so you know, I do trust the coaching staff, and I trust. So it's on paper, but I do feel like this team is gonna be full of winners this year.
Yeah, you know,
that wants to win.
You know, and that got us to week 16 and week 17. They close out against the Jets in Buffalo. I mean, that could definitely be a signature win. I mean, if you think about it. You know, we didn't say a whole lot of yeses to the beginning of the schedule because there weren't that many significant games. Now, in the home stretch, you're talking, you know, like a gauntlet of great teams. And if you're going to if you're gonna make a play to win that division, you have to beat teams like that to get there. So a Week 16 signature win against the Patriots to win the division or to put the stranglehold on it, man? Yeah. Man, I'm excited to, first off, like, talk to you this early in the season – before the season starts, actually, just to get on the same page with you. That way we know when fans, when listeners can, you know, expect the anthem and when it's going to be played. Because, man, I played it after a couple of wins last year, and I listened to them again just recently. Man, goosebumps. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I do look at I on Spotify, I can look at, like, statistics of who's listening to my songs.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, and we must have had a bunch of fans go to Minnesota because it was 200 and something plays in Minnesota that week.
In Minnesota?
Tell me where.
Oh, yeah, really? No kidding.
Tell me where, yeah.
That's so awesome.
And we must have had a bunch of fans go. And then just recently, it got 30 plays last week.
Oh,
so
geez,
I don't know who's listening to it.
Hey.
But someone's getting ready for the season.
It's good. It's good enough that people
hopefully
should.
Hopefully it's some players.
Yeah.
Some players did reach out last year.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Can you tell which ones?
Yeah, Deion Dawkins.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Let's see. Who else? It was Eddie Yarborough.
Oh, nice.
Jerry Hughes.
Wow.
Did tell me that the song was fire. That's
cool.
So this year, my goal, ultimate goal, hopefully we can make this happen, is to hopefully I can make a couple songs this year and get Cole Beasley on one.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a good rapper.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know.
No. How did I miss that?
You have to check him out.
Okay. That would be awesome. That'd be awesome. Well, hopefully he hears this and wants to come on with you. Man, Dom, it's been great to finally talk with you about all your work. Thank you for letting us play this Bills anthem on the podcast for these signature wins in the upcoming 2019 season. If people want to find all of your recorded music, you mentioned Spotify. I mean, where should they go? How should they search you? How do they find you?
First of all, I appreciate you for having me on. Like, this is my first ever podcast appearance. So I'm loving it, actually. So you can go find my music on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Google Play, Pandora. Let's see. And I do release my music for free. If anyone doesn't have the streaming services, I do release it on SoundCloud. So if you just type in Dom Brown, my picture will come up, and hopefully people will know what I look like after the podcast. Oh, yeah. after hearing this.
Yep.
Yeah, you can just click on No Genre was the album that I released May 18th.
Okay.
And it just came from, I just make different types of music, like pop, rap, R&B, just any type of music. That's why it's called No Genre. So just search Dom Brown, No Genre. You should be able to find it anywhere.
Well, I mean, I definitely recommend it for people, and I'm going to check it out too, Dom, now that I know, because, I mean, the 2018 album, or the 2018 Bills Anthem was great. The 2019 one is really, I mean, it's amazing. I don't know how you improved on it, but you did. And so if, like, the rest of your music is anything like that in the realm, I'm sure it's great. I'm sure, like you said, there's a reason why the players were reaching out to you. Where can listeners find you on social media?
My Instagram name is Dom Faded. So it's just how you spell Dom Faded, all one word, but just the extra D. So it's DOMFADEDD. Twitter is Dom Brown with 3 underscores afterwards. Mm-hmm. Facebook is Dominique Brown. That's my name. So
okay, cool.
And those are the 3 I have right there.
So great. So, I mean, they can look forward to seeing you at the concert this Saturday at 5 p.m. Yep. At Canal Side.
I do get on stage at 7.
On stage at 7. So they can be a little bit late, just as long as they're there by 7.
Yes. I was featured in the Buffalo Spree magazine this month.
Oh, wow.
So they had a little article about me opening for Nelly and stuff in the Buffalo Spree magazine. And then UB Spectrum reached out to me this week. Okay. So tonight I gotta finish some interview questions for them too. This stuff is moving quick. Like people find out I'm opening for Nelly. Now it's like people are like, oh, I want to get you on here. So I love it that people are starting to notice.
Great. Well, you know, I appreciate you coming on and sharing this with us. And seriously, best of luck at the concert this weekend.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. After that, I'll play the full Bills 2018 anthem for the last time on the podcast, so our new listeners will get one last chance to hear it. Following that, I'll give my thoughts on the Bills-Colts preseason game this past Thursday.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29.
Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so going into the Bills' first preseason game against the Colts, here are the most important things I was looking for. So if you're not following, I posted this on Twitter. If you're not following us on Twitter, please do. We are at CTW Pod. That's Circling the Wagons Podcast. And here are the six things I wanted to see from the Bills' first preseason game that night against the Colts. Number one, no injuries. Number two, and I can't stress this one enough, no injuries. Number three, no injuries. Number four, Josh Allen to throw a 99-yard bomb to John Brown on the first play. Number five, no injuries. And number six, please God, no injuries. So as you can see, that was the most important thing I cared about. It's one thing if guys don't look good or they look great or whatever. If you are missing a starter for the season because they tear an ACL running on the field, that just ruined your whole preseason. But anyway, so we were very fortunate. I'm glad to say that we didn't have any very serious injuries to very important players, I should say. So Zay Jones went into the locker room for a possible concussion on a hit that he took near the end zone, which was a little dirty, possibly, hard to tell. And luckily, he didn't end up having a concussion. He not only took a hit from, it was either the guy's forearm or he got speared, and then his head just bounced off the turf after. So very lucky he did not get a concussion. In general, I think the preseason truly doesn't affect how the real season will play out. Nick and Nolan really covered this in their latest podcast discussing preseason games, but here's a few things that I noticed on my own. And the first thing was the defense. I thought the defense looked stout all game. And in fact, the first play of the game, the Bills blew up the Colts offensive line, and right up the middle, Lawson and Edmonds stopped the running back for a loss. It was just a great play. And I thought Ed Oliver, for all the first team reps that he took, he looked very good against Quentin Nelson. Easily one of the best young offensive guards in the league right now. He is a first-team all-pro guard, so him going up against Quentin Nelson was a big deal. And I think he really held his own. Not only held his own, I thought he might have had the better of it sometime. So that's a great sign. So actually, it's funny. There was a tweet from the official Colts Twitter page that showed a picture of Quentin Nelson with a caption, "The baddest dude in Buffalo," to which my response was, that's not Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver is the baddest dude in Buffalo. And I wrote that before the game, and I'm like, man, I hope he does well, because this is going to look really stupid. But luckily, he held his own. He made me look good. And a lot of the Bills fans and a lot of our followers on Twitter agreed with me. Now, one thing that's very important to point out, and actually, one of our Twitter followers, @sick_uter, wrote to us and said, while playing his first game at a new position, so he's talking about Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver played the first game at a new position. In fact, I think it's the first time he's ever played a three tech in any game. So not enough has been made of the position switch, which I thought was a great point, because we all just assumed that based on his speed and strength and size, that he would be perfect for the three technique. But I don't remember reading anything or listening to anything that said he's ever really truly played three technique. Because in Houston, I believe he played nose tackle, and he was either one technique or, you know, right on the nose. So this is a new position for him. So that was a great discussion point there. I'm excited about Ed Oliver. Now, like we said, there's not a ton that you can take from the preseason, but I'm excited. I'm optimistic about it, and I think hopefully it was a good pick. It was a good pick by being in the front office. On offense, on the offensive side of the ball, the Bills started off with Deion Dawkins at left tackle, Quentin Spain at left guard, John Feliciano at center, which I hadn't really seen him doing a lot in training camp, so they clearly didn't want Russell Bodine doing it. At right guard, they had Cody Ford, which is very important to note, and Ty Nesecki was the right tackle. So Ford eventually did get some reps at offensive tackle, at right tackle, after the next offensive line shift went in. But it's just important to know that that's how they started. That's how the team sees the starting offensive line right now. We'll see if it changes. Who knows? We're going to find out. But very important to note that they've been switching out right guards all training camp, with either between Feliciano or Spencer Long or whatever, and maybe they're just like, hey, we just move Cody Ford in. We kill two birds with one stone. We get him starting. We get Ty Nesecki on the right tackle. I don't know. We'll see. One of the other things I wanted to note was Cole Beasley was involved early and often while he was in there, which is great to see. That's one of the storylines of Cole Beasley coming to the Bills, was can this guy be involved in an area where Josh Allen hasn't historically taken advantage of? Now, these short to intermediate passes, these short routes, basically the Edelman-like routes of just getting open, sitting in the zone, and it's a sort of route where you definitely need to be on the same page with the wide receiver, because he could go to many different areas of the field, and he's not just set into one route. So that's very important. They connected a couple of times. I thought that looked great. I was very happy with that. The first series, which was kind of cool, Brian Daboll called all passes. I thought that was kind of interesting, but cool. You know, they were definitely trying to get some things. They just wanted to see how Josh Allen looked in the pocket. And to be honest, from my standpoint, I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, he wasn't anything special. He had 6-for-11 for 66 yards and 0 touchdowns. But as Bruce Nolan pointed out on Twitter, Allen looked comfortable during the game, which I imagine should be easier this season in general, with the middle of the line just not getting blown up on every single play and Allen having to run for his life. So I was happy with the offensive line. I was happy with Allen. I didn't expect him to light the field on fire, but I thought he looked pretty good. Another thing to note, I mean, special teams wise, at least, and let me jump over special teams for a second. Hauschka misses an easy field goal. I'm guessing that's nothing to be worried about. Last season, obviously, he was dealing with that injury from that cheap shot he took from the Jets defensive lineman. So for all we know, he's healthy. And I think this was just a bad kick. Well, that's fine. Get it out of the way now before the regular season starts. So I'm not really worried about him. I did note that, though. So the last things that I had to say for this game, or the things I wanted to note, because like we've always mentioned, it's preseason, there's not a ton of things to take it, was Devin Singletary. I thought, for the first time me truly seeing him in game form and in seeing something that wasn't in training camp against real live competition, and they did give him a lot of reps because LeSean McCoy didn't get any reps, I don't believe, and Frank Gore took a couple of handoffs, and then it was basically Devin Singletary, and we'll get into the rest later. But I thought he showed patience, and I thought he showed elusiveness, and I thought that he hit the hole when he needed to, instead of just running in a pile and hoping something happens. So I thought it was great. One of our followers on Twitter, at Joe Giannetti, tweeted Devion Singletary, which I thought was hilarious because looking at the way that he was running, it was similar to Le'Veon Bell and the fact that he was waiting for the hole to open. And then all of a sudden, his cut and his vision was phenomenal from the little I've seen from him on tape in college and now with that preseason game. I'm excited about what the future holds at running back. I'm sure he's going to get lots of reps this season, obviously not as much as LeSean McCoy if LeSean McCoy stays on the team, and so I think this will be a really good season for him to get his feet under him, to understand pass protection. I don't know how good he is, but that's usually one of the biggest hurdles for first year running backs, rookie running backs, is pass protection. So he'll take this year to get some reps, learn pass protection and different techniques. And then next year, you know, we'll have Devin Singletary and some other guys that I'm about to talk about. So the other thing, running back wise, I mean, there's a lot of news on the running backs, is TJ Yeldon had a huge fumble. And that's just not a good sign. I was high on TJ Yeldon being signed with the Bills when he first came because he had that pass catching prowess that I was really looking forward to. I mean, if you play fantasy football, you know this guy's like a PPR beast, right? And he fumbled near the goal line, within the red zone at least, I believe it was the second quarter. And then after that, he basically got benched, and Sonoris Perry came in. And Sonoris Perry is not your traditional running back. He's definitely much more of a special teams player. The Bills signed him as a special teams player, but he also plays running back. I believe they said on the telecast he's only had 8 rushes in his entire career, and not for nothing, he looked pretty good instead of TJ Yeldon instead when Yeldon got benched. And not only that, he caught a pass that was way behind him. Barkley threw a pass that, I don't know, it was a bad pass, and he turned around, caught it somehow, got on the ground, got up, got a few more yards. I thought that looked great. And after finally like 3 or 4 rushes, he got into the end zone at like, you know, first and goal, second and goal, third and goal, finally got in. So I thought that was impressive. I thought Sonoris Perry, and if you've listened to our podcast where we talked with Matthew Fairburn, he was he was convinced that he thought Sonoris Perry was going to make the team based on special teams. Now, then that left TJ Yeldon on the outside. Was TJ Yeldon going to make the team somehow over some other player? Well, the way that it's looking right now, Sonoris Perry probably will make the team as a special teamer, as a fourth running back. And TJ Yeldon may not at this point. Now it's preseason, it's early. I always have to give this stupid disclaimer, it's preseason, right? But it doesn't look good for TJ Yeldon, a guy who is already kind of on the outside, to stand up that tall. I mean, he doesn't run low. If you saw him on that fumble, it's like he was standing up straight. So anyway, that was interesting. And then you have this play that everyone was talking about in the entire NFL.
Christian Wade is the running back, and he gets the carry here for the Bills. And look at Wade go! All the way from England to the house! Touchdown, Buffalo! Unbelievable!
And look at the Bills sideline. They are going crazy for their friend from England. Christian Wade took the handoff, put his foot in the ground, and took it to the house. He gives the football to Matt Barkley. He'll take that one back to England.
The British have arrived. One, if by land. Two, if by Christian Wade. So as Bills fans, obviously that was awesome to see. A guy with his first touch, not only as his first touch as an NFL player, it's not like he's a rookie, but a rugby player in England, a 28-year-old rugby player from England, and I don't know. I thought that was awesome. The thing that I think that we should mention, because we've just been talking about running backs and everything going on, is that the Bills are able to place Christian Wade on the practice squad in 2019. And because he's an international player, they're given an 11th player exemption, which I think is important. If it were me, now I'm talking as if I'm Brandon Bean, I would let him sit on the practice squad this season as the 11th member and let him gain experience and understand the game a little bit more. I mean, it's not like he's been playing it since he's, you know, been in Pop Warner. I mean, he's learning all of the facets of the game for the first time, not only the intricate, you know, passing routes and running routes and everything like that, just areas and lanes and all of that information that you just wouldn't normally know as a rugby player. He's going to learn it as a 28-year-old. So in my opinion, let him sit on the practice squad. And then next season, he's part of your 1-2 punch with Singletary. So you have Devin Singletary, you have Christian Wade as another piece, and then a rookie or whoever else backing up. And I just love the idea of that 1-2 punch. You have, obviously, Christian Wade has wheels, man. That dude just flew down the field. And then you have Singletary, who's more of, like I mentioned earlier, the Le'Veon Bell patient, looking for the right lane, elusive. That's a great 1-2 combo, in my opinion. So I'm really excited about that. Real quick plug. So those were my thoughts on the Bills-Colts preseason game. Those are a few of them. I purposefully didn't listen to Anthony's recap because I didn't want it to, you know, interfere with mine. I can't wait to hear what he had to say about it. Hopefully not the same exact thing. But now's as good a time as any. I just want to give a quick T Public plug for our T Public store. Right now, Friday and Saturday, there is a 35% off all T-shirts, coffee mugs, and everything else on our TeePublic site. That site is teepublic.com/stores/CTW pod. Now, the CTW pod is just like our Twitter handle, Circling the Wagons Pod. So this sale includes all of our Josh Allen Jumping Over the Haters shirts, the McDermott Trust a Process shirts, and all of our new Circle the Wagon shirts. I mean, there's some cool stuff on there. Check it out. Let us know what you think of it. You can find all of these and a ton more. We have like 15 or 20 different designs you can get on any size, any color t-shirt you want, okay? So again, that site is teepublic.com/stores/CTWpod. And give us some feedback on it. I know we've had some sales, obviously, through the podcast and through other people finding on Twitter, but let us know what you think about it. We have the ability to change any of these designs at any time. So if you're like, oh, you know, I think that Josh Allen needs to be a little bit bigger or smaller or whatever, you know, just shoot me a DM me, follow us on Twitter. Definitely follow us on Twitter. We have gotten a lot of new followers since this season has really started to take off. So follow us again at CTW Pod. So just some other notes that happened this past weekend that I'm sure are going to be talked in a little bit more detail this upcoming week in all of our podcasts. So the Bills traded defensive end Eli Harrell to the Eagles for offensive lineman Ryan Bates. So I read Joe Marino's pre-draft assessment on it, and I kind of skimmed through it. And right now it sounds like, you know, we had some excessive talent at defensive end for once, especially with how Daryl Johnson looked this past Thursday. So I think it just kind of made Eli Harrell expendable. and they definitely needed offensive linemen with some injuries that they've sustained recently. I don't even know if, I mean, I haven't even mentioned it. I don't know if the guys have mentioned it on the podcast network, but obviously Ladarian Waddle went down this past week with a season-ending quadricep injury, so that's really unfortunate. But in my assessment for this trade, we basically traded a third-string defensive end that we may have cut for a third-string offensive lineman that we need for depth because of those injuries. Other news and notes, the Bills signed cornerback Captain Munderland from the Carolina Panthers, which everyone's going to like roll their eyes when I say that he's from the Carolina Panthers, because obviously that's what the Bills do, right? And from what I've heard and what I've read, he's not that good, but I haven't been following him. I know that with all of these signings and all of these moves, please check BuffaloRumblings.com. They're going to give you a lot more in-depth coverage on that. So the Bills signed cornerback Captain Munderland basically to replace cornerback EJ Gaines, who is going to be placed on IR. Now, what's good about that, and I was talking with Kyle Trimble from bangedupbills.com, which is, you should definitely follow him too, is he was saying that this is important because he could come back in the second half of the season, which is going to be important because obviously the Bills are going to be looking at a Super Bowl in the second half of the season. So they're going to need EJ Gaines back then, right? I mean, I think we can all agree on that. So, but he did mention, and I didn't know this, but you cannot be placed on the PUP, the PUP, unless, the physically unable to perform, unless you start training camp on the PUP. So you can't all of a sudden, so EJ Gaines, after this injury, can't all of a sudden, okay, we're going to put EJ Gaines on the PUP for the beginning of the season. He'll come back after 6 weeks or whatever the length is. No, you can't do that. You have to start camp on the PUP, and that's it. So obviously he didn't start camp in the PUP, so he won't be on the PUP. He is on the season, or the injured reserve. I'm pretty sure it's to come back, and I believe that's week 9. So other moves that the Bills have made, they signed defensive tackle Roderick Young and offensive lineman Demetrius Rainey, obviously more depth along the offensive line there. And the Bills placed defensive tackle Robert Thomas on injured reserve along with EJ Gaines. And the Bills also released offensive lineman Nico Siragusa. Again, I'm just giving you the brief information that I've come across within the last hour or two. So feel free to definitely check out BuffaloRumblings.com for all of that information. They're going to give you a lot more in-depth coverage on these guys, where they come from, what they're doing, what to think of them, where they fit into the scheme. So obviously we have you covered for that. So I have to leave on this funny Bills story, Bills anecdote that just happened to me this last week. So every year my work does this really cool Bills game. They go to a Bills game every year. And it's really cool because I live in the Rochester area, so our company gets a bus, and we pay a certain amount of money, and we get a ticket and a bus to and from Buffalo, which is awesome. It covers food, beer. It is a great time. Plus, it's hanging out with the people you work with. It's something that I always like going to. It's a fun time. And I look forward to it because living in Rochester, having smaller children, I don't get to go to Bills games that often. It's just the way it is. I love going to them. I've had season tickets. I just haven't been able to do it a lot recently. Every year I look forward to this. So this season, I asked Mike and John, obviously the co-hosts to the Circling the Wagons podcast during the season. I asked them, hey, do you guys want to get tickets? They're like, absolutely. Let's do this. I text my wife and said, hey, we don't have anything planned for September 29th against the Patriots, right? I mean, no less. Like, my company can't always get the best tickets to the best games, but they got the Patriots game this season, which is the second home game. Like, hell yeah, like, let's do this, right? So I texted my wife, like, we have nothing going on except Sunday, September 29th, right? I mean, we rarely have things going on that far in advance that I don't know about, but I'm just double checking her, right? Just doing the good husbandly thing. And just double checking with my wife, because we all know it doesn't work out well when you don't let them know about something. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, the day of, hey, by the way, today's the Bills game. So I texted her this and she's like, oh, you're going to love this. So that day is actually the date of so-and-so's wedding. Now, this is a relative of my wife and one that we rarely see or think about or whatever. So she said the save the date is on her fridge, which I don't check the fridge for the save the date, right? Whatever. And I was like, you're kidding me, right? So I was like, in my mind, like, you're kidding me. This is on a Sunday. It's on a Sunday during football season. And then I all of a sudden went from that and be like, I don't like them well enough to go. I don't really care if I see them again ever again. like just terrible things as
a husband and whatever to these relatives. But I was just like, I don't like them enough to go. You know, I really want to go see this game. So I posted this on Twitter and got a lot of funny responses. So I'm going to read some of these just because I really appreciate the Bills Twitter community coming and getting my back. By the way, this was posted more times, and obviously I'm not going to read about, is that people were saying, just don't go. Like, just, okay. Oh, that's all. So I just don't go to this wedding that my wife expects me at. Like, the people that said that, it's just funny. You either must not be married or you just don't realize how my marriage works. Because when my marriage, the way my marriage works is when my wife tells me we're doing something, I try to give sound logic on why I don't think we should be doing said thing. And then we end up doing that thing anyway, right? I mean, isn't that how marriage is supposed to work? Happy wife, happy life. So obviously I'm going to this game, or I'm not, obviously I'm not going to the game. I'm going to this wedding, but I was just, you know, I put it up to Twitter like, hey, any advice is appreciated. So here are some funny ones that I wanted to read. This is from at Khalid321. But this game, he wrote, this game preceded the whole relationship. I know I'm not available any Sunday in the fall until death. Who gets married on football Sunday? This is why divorce rate is high, starting on the wrong note. I mean, buddy, you're preaching to the choir, right? Who gets married on a football Sunday? Exactly. Well, I will tell you who gets married on a football Sunday. A couple that doesn't really care about sports. And I don't know if you guys have ever run into these people before, just in general. You get stuck at a party, you're talking to someone, you're like, oh, hey, what? Like, oh, well, I'm a Bills fan. And they go, oh, I'm not really into sports. And you're like, this is gonna suck. How do I get out of this conversation, right? Well, these relatives are not sports people. So that's why they did it on Sunday. I mean, whatever. Like, I'm not gonna give them the cheap card because you're having a wedding on Sunday. Not everyone can afford a $20,000 wedding, okay? So I don't blame them for that. Just don't do it between September and January. You can do it any other time of the year. Just do it. You could do it in February, March, whatever. Who cares? It's, you know, I shouldn't say February because the Bills are probably going to be in the Super Bowl or at least in the playoffs by then, January. But like March on, man, like rock on, right? So that was a funny response. Here's one from at EJ Town. Bills football is considered religion to me. Therefore, religious beliefs trump any wedding. You're welcome. And that's really good. That's really good advice. It is like a religion to us, right? So that was good. This is from at Bokes26. The first mistake is having a wedding on a Sunday during football season. It shows that she wears the pants before they're even married. Second, say you're a finalist to be the couple married on the field during halftime. To renew your vows, boom. Which I forgot that was the game where the Bills are actually going to marry a couple at halftime. So that's awesome. I would say that they wouldn't believe me, and they don't even know about it because they're not Bills fans. So that was great advice. So I have like three or four more. They're really good. And at Louis Payon LV wrote to me, I know a great divorce lawyer, which I thought was funny. And I replied back to him. I said, for me, I hope, right? Me, because I don't want her to have a good one. So, but then again, like I said, I'm going to this wedding. So hopefully that doesn't come to that. At Walla J tweeted, he said, I'd ask what the price is to pay in order to skip the wedding because I missed my brother's wedding to coach in a high school playoff game. By the way, who gets married on a damn Friday night in early November? Now he's talking obviously about his brother getting married. So I responded back, like, does your brother still talk to you? And Jay wrote, he does. It was my mom that was pissed. And so I thought that was a funny response. Here's a good one. This is from at Mo Sanoop. And he wrote, if you're holding a wedding in the fall on a Sunday, you need to reconsider your life choices, which I agree with. I mean, I think most of my friends and family members would never do something like that. So it's safe to assume that none of my close friends and family members need to reconsider their life choices, but I totally get what you're saying. This couple definitely does. And the last one I'm going to leave it on. This was the best one so far. This was from at Sam Dell. 5555. He wrote, ask if the wedding can be quote unquote flexed, which is great. Amazing. Thank you guys for all of your comments and sharing in this awful experience with me. I agree it shouldn't happen. Things happen, though. You know what I mean? Like, luckily, I did find out it's like a 10:30 wedding, right? So it's going to be like a brunch wedding. So I will be on my phone on the NFL mobile app on my Verizon phone, so I can watch the game no matter what. So I will watch the game. I will find a way to watch it, and they might not like that, but that's the way it goes, right? So anyways, to end this podcast on that, on the notes and everything like that, I really appreciate you guys all hearing Dom's music and interview earlier. On a very personal note, when Matt Warren asked me to join the Buffalo Rumblings podcast channel almost a year ago, I was really very appreciative of him giving us the chance to talk Bills on one of the biggest and best Bills sites on earth. And ever since then, I've wanted to use this small platform that I have to showcase talent within the Bills community whenever I could. And Dom is a great example of that talent. I mean, we've been messaging each other since last season and all summer. So I'm really glad that we could finally put this together. We have a lot of new listeners, so you may not know that every Sunday night after the Bills game, we do a recap podcast of the game. We give our thoughts on it. We go over stats and our Wall of Famers of the game, etc. And that's when I'd be playing Dom's 2019 Bills anthem. I'm going to preview a clip of it at the end of this episode, so add the Bills anthem to your Sunday tailgating playlist on Spotify, Amazon, Pandora, iTunes, and everywhere else that you stream music. Thanks again to Dom Brown, and for me, Nate, go Bills, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Buffalo, 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 it's the Mafia. Buffalo, Buffalo, it's the Mafia. Buffalo, 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 it's the Mafia. Buffalo, 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 it's the Mafia. It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. Buffalo, 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 it's the Mafia. Josh Allen, Shady, Frank Gore, who's stopping us? Trey Emmons, Ed Oliver, Jerry Hughes, who blocking us? I don't see nobody stopping us. Number one, no one on top of us. What they gonna do when Matt Milano coming with the blitz off the edge? Don't you throw it in the air, cause Trey White and Micah Hyde will intercept. Star Lotta, Louis double team, now the team getting easy sacks. Jerry Hughes with the double moves, coming straight for the quarterback. Take him down, take him down. McDermott climbing on the sidelines, and the crowd going crazy. Mafia is all time. Kiss 98.5, DJ Anthony, yeah. 98.5, Mafia, where you at? Buffalo, 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 it's the Mafia. 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 It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. Buffalo, 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 it's the Mafia. Josh Allen, Shady, Frank Gore, who's stopping us? Jordan Poyer, Trey Day, Rizzo, who blocking us? I don't see nobody stopping us. Number one, no one on top of us. Mitch Moore snapped to Josh Allen, looking down the field. See no one open, so he scrambled right. He sees somebody open, but he off balance, so he gotta be focused. Dawkins with the block, Allen with the shock. 70 yards, will it be caught? Zay Jones or Cole Beasley? Down the field, past the whole Ross, and that's Robert Foster, make it so easy. Touchdown, new era field, rocking every Sunday. Got a hangover on every Monday. House money kicking, you know we winning. Josh Allen pass it, who gon' pass us? JD and Frank, you know we great. If you're not a Bills fan, we don't relate. Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.